Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen, and just push all the noise outside as we have 26 minutes of calm conversation today, tonight, this evening with you, hopefully finding your way to sleep. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Marco Timpano.
I'm Amanda Barker. It could be morning. You could be coming home after a shift and ready to drift off.
Most certainly, a lot of people listen in the morning. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're listening, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you here. And Amanda, we got shortlisted for a couple of Canadian Podcast Awards yesterday.
Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
So we're nominated for Best Outstanding Production. So I made sure that we didn't have the washing machine rolling today as we were recording.
For production values.
For production values, mm-hmm. As our listeners are probably like, production values? They always have a washing
machine.
We're
in a studio. I've heard all kinds of production values on podcasts.
It's true. Thank you for bearing with us. Some people, I always say this, the washing machine is our ASMR that we contribute,
100%
contribute to.
As is me drinking tea.
Yes, Amanda was slurping a bit of tea a moment ago.
Yeah.
But this tea isn't that hot.
You
rushed the tea.
I rushed the tea. It's got to be a euphemism for something.
For sure. So, Best Outstanding Production and Best Series Health and Fitness.
That's nice.
Yeah,
well,
that's
we believe in sleep health.
That's right.
We really do. So, that's...
And we could be more fit, so...
Well, it's part of your mental... Listen... Sleep is where you get out the gunk. Just as much people say that sometimes about their fitness regimen, whether it's jogging or yoga, and this is where I clear out the cobwebs. But sleep is your brain doing that for you.
There you go. And we're
going to
work towards that on today's episode. Thank you for listening.
But in terms of the podcast awards, because if I was a listener, I would ask this, and I'm actually on my own asking this. Can anybody vote?
That's a great question. In certain categories, the public can vote. I'm not quite certain if our categories are those, but I will let you know. You can always go to the Canadian Podcast Awards and see if you're eligible to vote. I don't think voting is open just yet, but
okay.
We'll let you know.
Because that would be things I would ask for. Yeah.
Of course. And Ali Hassan is shortlisted for Best Host for my other podcast. This podcast is delicious.
He's shortlisted, but you're not?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes that happens. So I guess he's the better host of the show.
Well, he's well known across when you're on the CBC, people listen to you in every little pocket of the country.
It's true. I don't mind one bit.
No, that's great. We're proud of him and we love his work ethic, and he's a friend of the family.
Speaking of Ali, we went to Taste Canada Book Awards Gala just the other night, and he was hosting.
Yeah, we went to hang out with him.
I've never been to a cookbook awards show, Amanda.
And we have listeners that are cookbook authors
that's
as well.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
So I don't know what... Yeah, it was called The Taste of Canada.
Taste Canada, there was no of.
Oh, Taste Canada Culinary Awards, specifically for cookbooks and student chefs.
Right.
That seemed to be who was getting the awards.
Now, were there any books that were nominated that stood out for you, Amanda? Because we heard a bunch of cookbooks that I had never heard of before that were...
They all had very intricate names.
Long names.
And long names. And most of them were a name and then a colon and then a long explanation of what that book was about, which I understand because
a subtitle, if you will.
I will subtitle. So you'd get a little piece of, like a pie book one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was called The Perfect Pie, but don't quote me.
I don't know. There was Three Scoops of Love.
Something about scoops. So an ice cream cookbook, which was exciting.
There was, and what was lovely about Taste Canada's awards, and they're not a sponsor of our podcast, so we won't go too much into it, is they had the English awards and the French book awards, cookbook awards. And there was one written by an author whose name was Madame Proust or something like that.
Dominski. I think it was.
And I was so excited to see Madame Dominski win this award, but Madame Dominski wasn't there. And so I never got to see the face behind the Madame.
No, nobody did. Madame lives in the shadows.
In the kitchen, cooking wonderful meals.
I have friends who have a cookbook actually coming out, too.
Tell us about it.
I'm just trying to find the name of it. I believe it's called Baking Wonderland, and it's coming out in November. So maybe we'll talk more about that when it's closer. But it's a really interesting. The authors are Jean Parker and Rachel Smith. They're sisters. They used to have a TV show called the Baker Sisters. And they've made a cookbook. They were telling me about it. They're my book club, actually.
That's how
I know them. So our November book club is a get-together for their book. That's the book of the month is their book.
Oh, that's great.
And it's an interesting book because it's like, okay, with these same ingredients or a quick alteration of these ingredients or measurements, you can make, if you want, like a chocolate banana muffin.
Yes.
You could also make a chocolate banana cookie.
Sure.
Or a chocolate banana cake.
Wonderful.
So which would you like to do? So it's sort of a choose your own adventure book for kids.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, for young bakers. So that'll be exciting. We can talk more about that.
And speaking of promotion, it feels like the first part of this podcast is going to be a promotion. Is Amanda's in a film that's coming out in November this month.
Yes.
And
in the culinary world, I play a waitress at the diner.
That's right. But this genre of film is scary, so just know that.
Yeah.
You'll want to take a peek at the trailer, not this evening, but tomorrow. It's called Thanksgiving,
so a very simple title. It comes out the week before Thanksgiving on November 17th. It'll be in theaters. Please don't look it up now if you're trying to sleep. I implore you. I'll mention it again so that you'll have time to look it up. But I'm in the trailer, and I'll leave it at that. I don't want to give anybody any kind of bad sleep.
Now, last week we talked about the chorado. The coffee maker. And our
was
listener.
Was that just last week?
Yeah.
It's been a long week. Wow.
Our listener heard their name and got excited. And unfortunately, the episode, they couldn't sleep. That's why I always try to, check in with our listeners before I say their name because I don't want them to be. But they were grateful. And that device folds up to nearly nothing. That's one of the things I wanted to
mention. Because that was one of my pushbacks. I don't need a sewing and wooden situation on my kitchen counter, but I will say,
yes,
you were fast asleep. You like soothing TV,
right?
And you were fast asleep, and I was watching one of my favorite soothing shows, which is House Hunters International.
Oh yes,
I love it. It's just a formula, you know the show. This couple is from Ohio, but they're taking the plunge and moving to Stockholm, Sweden. Which apartment will they rent? You know, it's the simplest show.
A guilty pleasure.
And I won't be guilty.
A non-guilty pleasure.
You get to see a little bit of the city. You start to get to know the real estate agents in certain cities because they'll just keep hiring the same ones for the show.
In 22 minutes, you're transported to a different place and you feel like you've got a little sample of the city.
And you think, I wouldn't mind living in Cambodia. What would that be like?
Sure.
And you see what you can get. Anyway, we were watching that show and this family, the recent one, and I know it's recent because I watched them all. There's an unlimited amount of content that they make in that show, and I watch them all. So very recently, in the last few weeks, a family from Idaho, can't believe I remember that, decided they were going to move their two high school age kids to Costa Rica. And they showed them drinking coffee out of that apparatus and you were fast asleep. So I got excited and then I couldn't get too excited because I didn't want to wake you up.
Sure. Sure. And there you go. So it was something you had never heard of until we talked about it on the podcast. And then
suddenly I saw it and it is exactly, it almost looks, you know what you could use? Like woman's pantyhose, I think you could use to strain the coffee.
I wouldn't recommend it, but I guess I guess in a pinch you could, sure.
Pantyhose you can use for a lot. I also used it for like hair ties. Even just cut it because it's elastic. You just cut it up and once you have a run in your stockings, as my mother would say, you just cut it up and each one of those little circles can be just a hair tie or a hair band or hair elastic. Or you take a whole leg.
Yeah.
And you tie it around, and then you have like a hair band that you like it when I do that. I don't do it a lot, but when you push the hair back,
yeah,
and you have like a black band, like a headband.
Also, they were when I was a kid or when I was a young adult, I was always told you could use a pair of stockings in the car for the belt if your belt was to snap. You could use that in its place.
Your belt on your pants or your seat belt?
No, not neither. The engine belt. It's not the fan belt. What is it in the car?
I won't know. So.
You know, there's a belt in the car. I don't know if they even have them anymore, and that's probably why.
Well, the thing is, women don't wear a ton of pantyhose anymore, mm-hmm. or at least this woman doesn't.
Stockings is what I know them as.
Well, I know, but because they used to be stockings and you'd hold them up with garters, but that's stopped happening in like the 60s. So now
I see.
It's reserved only for like boudoir shoots.
Right.
So now it's just pantyhose.
I didn't realize that's why they were called stockings.
I think so, yeah. Because they were actually like stockings. They were socks.
Speaking of stockings, we are going to have our holiday episodes in December. Mm-hmm. But what I might do, Amanda, this year is on the Wednesday, we'll have just a regular episode for those who want just a calm episode.
That's a good idea.
Because otherwise it's all jingles and jangles and excitement.
Some people love it.
Some people really love
our holiday season, and other people are like, bring back the calmer version, which there should be room for both here.
We're going to have room for both, most definitely.
Because honestly, for you, I've noticed in your sleep patterns, you can't do something too calm. You need a bit of liveliness to fall asleep, I've noticed.
Yeah, that's my MO.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of MOs, yesterday was Halloween and I carved the pumpkin.
You did.
And I do enjoy carving pumpkins. For those who are Patreon members, you can see the carvation of the pumpkin that we used yesterday.
Carvation, I love that.
And we took the seeds out, and you're a good roaster of seeds.
They're soaking right now. So when you take the pumpkin seeds out, I like to soak them. I've got them soaking. Wow, I really sound Massachusetts today. I've got them soaking in some warm salted water.
Where did you get that tip from?
Myself. I just decided to put salt in the water.
But so some people don't soak them, but I saw on a social media thread that's what you should do.
That's before. What I do.
Okay.
I've always, we never did it growing up, so I've never read what I should do. I've just done it.
Sure.
The reason I soak them is to get it's a lot easier after if they've soaked for a day to get any of the stringy pumpkin off of them.
I see.
They come apart a lot easier that
sure.
way. And then what I do is I put them in a strainer and then I let them dry in the strainer.
I see.
And then so they have to be completely soaked and then completely dried and then I roast them.
I see.
Yeah, that's my process.
Some people roast them soaked.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder if that's better.
I think I saw that. I think once again I didn't
really look it up.
Pay too much attention, but I kind of saw that.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of ours, Lynn, burnt her pumpkin seeds. I saw that.
Yeah. Which Lynn?
Lynn
Falouche?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if we should be mentioning her name. She'd appreciate that, but there we go. Especially because she burnt her pumpkin seeds and now we're kind of...
the one thing she's known for on this podcast.
She's lovely. I should have her as a guest.
She'd be a great guest.
She's wonderful.
Fascinating and smart person. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely smart and fun. I got to work with her abroad and she's a lot of fun to travel with.
We're in... where were we with her? Georgia, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
somewhere else too.
I was in Florida, I think, with Lynn. Anyways, I wanted to mention that the pumpkin is currently outside, but you like to make a jack-o'-lantern soup the next day.
It's not happening this year.
Oh, no.
Because I bought those little tiny pumpkins.
Can't you use the little tiny, chop them
up? Well, you said that there was no real pumpkin in it. You said it was all seeds.
Well, no, it was seeds most definitely, but there's thickness. I just wasn't able to scoop out any of the thickness. Oh,
we should have gotten that hand claw for pumpkins that we saw in Shark Tank last year.
Maybe a little hand claw. I just like, you know what, all those pumpkin accoutrements, I just like a knife and...
Well, here's the thing.
Sure.
And I've talked about this a lot on this podcast, so why stop now? The thing is, you know, anything, especially Halloween, we don't put out our Halloween stuff, you know, at best a week ahead, 2 weeks ahead. Maybe I'll probably keep everything up over the weekend and then out it will go.
Sure.
So, you know, space is at a premium in this world. I'm not going to be holding on to a gigantic claw for a once a year activity. It doesn't merit it for me.
Amanda is not a one use type person.
No.
I am the right tool for the right purpose. So I'm more of a one tool that does one specific thing type person.
Lest we forget the bacon spatula.
The bacon spatula?
You had a bacon spatula for years.
Well, yeah, I had a spatula for bacon, but also I had...
Just for bacon.
Well, its primary use was bacon for sure, but I think that's just because the spatula had a little piggy on the end of it.
You wanted that spatula just for when we cook bacon, which we never do.
No, I wanted the stir thing that had one end for peanut butter and one end for bacon.
And I got it for you, and you never used it.
It's true.
You used a knife for peanut butter and jelly because who are we? Who uses a gigantic stick that has a spoony thing on both sides?
I miss that spoony thing.
I'll buy you one. You'll get one for Christmas.
No.
And dear listeners, know that Marco, not only did we have it, he registered for it with our wedding.
It was the one thing I was
like, allowed
to.
Who got us the peanut butter and jelly stick where it's one side is peanut butter colored so you could scoop out the peanut butter with it and the other side. And it was big. It was like a drumstick. Like
yeah,
it was
that's
a
right.
big stick.
Sure. A drumstick for drums, not a chicken drumstick.
Yeah.
Amanda refers to things in drum measurements. not chicken.
That's what happens when you grow up with a drummer and making cymbals, as I did as a child.
Lest we forget the avocado scoop that I also purchased.
The avocado. But it had to be the perfect size avocado for that scoop.
Those were the days when I had those.
Are they still in my kitchen? No. No, dear listeners, they are not.
But I was able to convince Amanda to get me a spatula for eggs.
Yeah, you can do that because you make eggs. I don't make them the way you make them. I can fry an egg, kind of. That's about it. I'm very, I would say, deft in the kitchen, but eggs are not my thing. They're not my specialty.
I can
poach an egg pretty well.
Actually, you are a good egg poacher. I will say this. I saw that you used my egg spatula for fish the other day, and I wasn't happy because we do have a fish turner.
When did we have fish?
We had fish or something, or chicken or something. You used my spatula for...
No, I didn't.
It's not intended purposes.
This is true.
It's true. It's true.
No, well, we haven't had fish in like 3 weeks, and we just bought that spatula. So...
You turned something with it that was...
I can't even think what it would have been.
I think it was fish. You made a fish soup, a really lovely fish soup.
When did I make that?
It was delicious. But anyways,
okay.
Enough with...
All right. I made a chowder.
Solving that mystery.
of what I used. And what's that spatula for? Just eggs.
Just eggs.
I'll let you have it because you make good eggs.
Yeah. I also want to say that I have, and I'm very excited about this, starch for my shirts.
Tell us.
So starch is, hard to find lately for some reason. I've gone to several stores looking for starch, several grocery stores and whatnot. And then online, it's very expensive. So I was like, I want starch, but it's just outrageous.
Now, is starch something that you think most people use?
A lot of people use.
Yeah? I don't know. I don't iron. I don't use starch.
For shirts, you don't have a lot of shirts, collared shirts.
I don't.
Yeah. And the shirts that you do, now I will starch them and you'll see how much you love them.
Oh, I don't know if I want you starching up my shirts.
You don't want your shirts starched? The collar, at least, Amanda.
Maybe.
What do you have against starch? Anyways, I found starch on a discount rack.
Correction.
You found starch.
I found starch on a discount rack.
And it didn't say how much it was, the discount rack.
No, it didn't.
It was like mystery. So I was like, I need starch. Let's grab two bottles and see what
it's like.
That's
just, I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Sure.
We love a discount rack.
Who doesn't?
In a grocery store or any kind of store. But then there's no prices on them. So you're like, did someone just put this here? Are they just using it? Is it just overstock and they're going to, you know, is everything on this 50% off? You don't know. You have to bring it up.
Sometimes it'll have a sticker that says how much percent off.
But sometimes.
It doesn't tell you the original price.
Exactly. This is my peeve. So you always have to bring it up and check. Because sometimes you think you're getting a great deal and they're like, this barbecue sauce is $6. It was originally $10, but it's like, I don't need $6 barbecue sauce, you know?
Right. What was interesting about this was there was two starches, same make, same model. One had a blue cap, one had a white cap.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to figure out if they were different starches. It didn't say. It just seemed like they were different branding.
Interesting.
Perhaps an older starch and its new brand look. When we scanned them, one starch was $4.49 and the blue cap starch was $2.29.
I know, isn't that funny?
So
there's no difference between the two.
So I went and got another bottle of the $2.29 starch because that's a great price. That's like the price if you watch The Price is Right from 20 years ago, that's what the starch price would be.
Yeah.
So I have really inexpensive starch. I've starched one shirt. I have a shirt that is currently waiting to be put in the dryer. I did not put it on the dryer for today's show because we are nominated for a production award.
Right.
So I'm going to starch that shirt up and I'm really excited.
Well, that's really exciting. I'm glad. And how long will a bottle of starch last you?
Well, that's a good question. It really depends how much work I'm doing that requires a collared shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some weeks I'm always wearing a collared shirt for various roles that we're playing or gigs that we're doing. And some weeks I'm not. So this month I'm going to use that for a few shirts without a doubt. And then next month it's December. I don't think I'm going to use it. So I'm going to guess, and you don't use that much starch when you're starching a shirt. So and those bottles are pretty big. I'm going to guess it's going to last me 4 to 6 months.
Oh, that's good.
And then I have the other one for 4 to 6 months. So a year. So at least a year worth of starch we have purchased recently.
Do you look at what Nora Ephron used to call the amortization of things? Meaning like how much each use of this starch bottle costs you?
Oh, I love that. I am definitely that type of person. Mm-hmm. So me and Nora Ephron, kindred spirits, I would say. Nora Ephron is the writer of many, many great films, right?
She was, yeah. She wrote When Harry Met Sally. She wrote Sleepless in Seattle.
Those kind of films, yeah. Yeah. And
smart lady.
Yeah.
She was.
So I definitely love the amortization of things. So when we come home from Costco, I'll always write the date that we purchased it and how much we purchased it for.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm done it, I look at how many months it took us to use up that product. And if it is a product that requires repurchasing in that largest size.
And have you ever, with that system that I know you have you ever then gone, you know what, that wasn't the best deal?
I think I have.
Because I feel like we do it. We put the dates on things. And then it's like, oh, when did we buy it? Huh, November 2 years ago. Okay. And we go on with our lives. And then we buy it again. So I just wonder.
The standouts for me are the ones where we've had it for a while and we've used it and it was a good purchase.
Okay.
So like vitamin D bottles.
Right.
Those were great purchases because they last us a while and they weren't very
expensive. And we go through them.
We
take a lot of vitamin D. This time of year, everybody be taking vitamin D by the handful.
Unless you're south of the equator, you might want to.
Take it anyway.
Okay, fair enough. So, and please don't please don't follow.
This is not medical advice.
Yeah, don't follow our advice for medical.
I have a friend. She's more of an acquaintance, but she's a sort of friendly acquaintance. And every year at this time of year, she writes on her Facebook page, just a reminder to everybody, start taking vitamin D.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. So yeah, our olive oil always impresses me. We go through quite a bit of it, but the savings from buying it in the larger quantities always makes me happy.
Okay.
So there's certain
shampoo.
Things. Yes, shampoo.
I'm impressed like, with that one when mm-hmm. we buy like big bottles of shampoo and conditioner. Because I feel like we get a good 8 months out of them.
We should say you get a good 8 months out of them because I don't use very much of it at all. But things like that. So yeah, I do believe in the amortization of things. What would Nora do?
Well, she more used it to justify big purchases.
I see.
And it comes, she wrote an essay about, to be honest, about, I believe it's called The Arcadia, where Only Murders in the Building is based on.
Which is a television show with Steve Martin and Martin Short.
And Selena Gomez. But it was a very famous group of co-op apartments.
I see.
I believe. But New York's a little different because you can buy apartments and stuff. Anyway, so I can't remember if she was renting or buying. I think buying. And she talked about the amortization of, well, if I buy it now, I mean, that's like every month that I'm there, it's only this much money.
Sure.
But
sure.
She would justify it to buy an expensive coat.
I see.
Things like that, which I think it's not a bad way to look at it. Like, how many wares am I going to, do I spend a bit more money? How many wares do I get out of this thing?
Sure. Also, like, I'm like that with like winter coats. Mm-hmm. You know, I have this winter coat, the zipper's a little bit busted. Do I fix the zipper?
Right.
Or has that coat served me long enough?
You do have a jacket you always forget you have.
Where is that jacket? I need to
you
wear it.
You know what?
Today.
They're all, so everything gets stored into our Moroccan poofs.
I see.
I haven't unzipped them to take all the winter stuff out. Perhaps I do that after this podcast.
While I'm editing, you go through the poofs.
Okay. I'll poof it up.
And for our listeners, just before we go, explain what a Moroccan poof is and if it's a valuable item in the home.
Well, it might have a different name.
Sure.
I think it's like a type of ottoman, perhaps. But in any event, it's poofs were pretty big like in the last 10 years. And they're both leather. You know the ones. You've seen them in various home design things. They sort of have like, I don't know, a sort of daisy kind of shape stitched into the top. And, you know,
they look like a medicine ball to me.
A medicine ball?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
There's a ball that in the 40s you would throw back and forth for exercise.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that. Well,
sure.
Anyway.
It's probably because you don't live in the 40s.
Guests can sit on them, so you have to stuff them with something. So I really wanted one or two. I got two. And I really wanted one. And I couldn't justify, same as Nora Ephron with a coat, I was trying to justify buying them. And then I realized, oh, you just buy the leather shell. You have to stuff them with something. And then I thought, well, isn't that genius? I can stuff all my clothing that's off season in there. So they're always more deflated in the winter because all my summer stuff doesn't take up the same amount of bulk that my winter stuff. They're great in the summer. But I also have like an old comforter from when I was a kid. I have a Cabbage Patch comforter that I can't part with.
Sure.
So that's in there. So there's stuff like that in there. And yeah, that's what a Moroccan poof is. So all of our squishy scarves and hats, or as we call them, toques, and maybe your coat is in there. It might also, I don't know if I put the whole coat in there though.
It seems like a lot for a poof, but
my winter coat is in there. But
again, which winter coat?
My down winter coat, because they squish down to nothing.
Sure, sure.
So yours might be in there. Anyways, I'll open it up and have a look.
I also need gloves, and
they're probably in there. I try not to put away. If we only have one, it doesn't go in the poof with hopes of finding it. We bid it farewell and hope it can go out into the world and find its mate. So I try not to put like one. So it should all be matching pairs.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, because we have gloves that disappear. A lot of people have the sock problem.
We have the glove problem big time.
What I need to do is, you know the strings that you attach two gloves together and you put it through the jacket?
Sure.
I think that would be great. I know I used to do it for kids, but I would love...
Mitten strings.
So if you're looking for something for me for my birthday...
That doesn't make any sense. A mitten string?
I want a mitten string.
So what is that? A string with a clothespin on each side?
Well... Formally, you would knit the mitten and then just make a long knitted string that goes from one sleeve.
I'll tell your mom to goes from one sleeve.
Yeah, because you knit. So what you would do is you would knit the mitten, then you would knit like a string. So it was a knitted string that would go the length of your sleeve.
I didn't know
around
this.
The back through the next sleeve.
And are you other, kidding?
No, so that when you were a kid,
I don't think I knew this.
Mittens always stayed with your jacket. Because there was a string that attached them inside the
jacket. Did you have this?
No, but I think I always wanted it.
I think you made it up.
No, it's a brilliant thing.
Okay, I'll tell your mom.
Mitten strings. My mom's a great knitter. That's why you're like, I'll tell your mom. All right, well, that's the end of this episode. I hope you enjoyed it.
Mitten strings.
Get your mitten strings before the season starts. Because once the season starts, it's hard to find mitten strings.
Well, I think you have to make them. And it's a nice... We have some wonderful knitters who listen to this podcast.
Yes. So let's get cracking. Until then, we hope you were able to listen to this particular episode and sleep and enjoy yourselves. Have a great, great rest of your week. Till next week, I'm Marco Timpano.
I'm Amanda Barker.